Greetings, this is Jeff Riddle, pastor of Christ Reformed Baptist Church in Louisa, Virginia. And this is another in this occasional series of readings from and brief notes and commentary upon Eusebius of Caesarea's The Ecclesiastical History. Here is Book 10 and Chapter 5. But come, let us now quote also the translations made from the Latin of the imperial ordinances of Constantine and Licinius. Copy of imperial ordinances translated from the Latin tongue. In our watchfulness in days gone by, that freedom of worship should not be denied, but that each one, according to his mind and purpose, should have authority given him to care for divine things in the way that pleased him best. We had given orders that both to the Christians and to all others, liberty should be allowed to keep the faith of their own sect and worship. But inasmuch as many and various conditions seem clearly to have been added in that rescript, in which such rights were conceded to the same persons, it may be that perchance some of them were shortly afterwards repelled from such observance. When I, Constantine Augustus, and I, Licinius Augustus, had come under happy auspices to Milan and discussed all matters that concerned the public advantage and good, among the other things that seemed to be of benefit to the many, or rather first and foremost, we resolved to make such decrees as should secure respect and reverence for the deity, namely to grant both to the Christians and to all the free choice of following whatever form of worship they pleased, to the intent that all the divine and heavenly powers that be might be favorable to us and all those living under our authority. Therefore, with sound and most upright reasoning, we resolved on this council that authority be refused to no one whomsoever to follow and choose the observance or form of worship that Christians use, and that authority be granted to each one to give his mind to that form of worship which he deems suitable to himself, to the intent that the divinity may in all things afford us his wanted care and generosity. It was fitting to send a rescript that this is our pleasure, in order that when those conditions had altogether been removed, which were contained in our former letters sent to thy devotedness, concerning the Christians, those things also which seemed to be wholly unfortunate and foreign to our clemency might be removed, and that now each one of those who were possessed of the same purpose, namely to observe the Christians' form of worship, should observe this very thing freely and simply, without any hindrance, which things we have resolved to signify in the fullest manner to thy carefulness, to the intent that thou mayest know that we have granted to these same Christians free and unrestricted authority to observe their own form of worship. And when thou perceivest that this has been granted unrestrictedly to them by us, thy devotedness will understand that authority has been given to others also who wish to follow their own observance and form of worship, a thing clearly suited to the peacefulness of our times, so that each one may have authority to choose and observe whatever form he pleases. This has been done by us to the intent that we should not seem to have detracted in any way from any rite or form of worship. And this, moreover, with special regard to the Christians, we resolve that their places, at which it was their former wont to assemble, concerning which also in the former letter dispatched to thy devotedness a definite ordinance had been formerly laid down, if any should appear to have bought them either from our treasury or from any other source, that these they should restore to these same Christians without payment or any demand for compensation, setting aside all negligence and doubtfulness. And if any chance to have received them by gift, that they should restore them with all speed to these same Christians, provided that if either those who have purchased these same places or those who have received them by gift request aught of our generosity, let them approach the prefect of the district to the intent that through our kindness thought may be taken for them also. All which things must be handed over to the corporation of the Christians by thy zealous care immediately and without delay. And inasmuch as these same Christians had not only those places at which it was their wont to assemble, but also are known to have had others belonging not to individuals among them, but to the lawful property of their corporation, that is, of the Christians, All these, under the provisions of the law set forth above, thou wilt give orders to be restored, without any question whatsoever, to these same Christians, that is, to their corporation and assembly. Provided always, of course, as aforesaid, that these persons who restore the same without compensation, as we have mentioned above, may look for indemnification, as far as they are concerned, from our generosity. In all these things thou shouldest use all the diligence in thy power for the above-mentioned corporation of the Christians, that this our command may be fulfilled with all speed, so that in this also, through our kindness, thought may be taken for the common and public peace. For by this method, as we have also said before, the divine care for us, which we have already experienced in many matters, will remain steadfast continually, and that the form which this our enactment and generosity takes may be brought to the knowledge of all, it is fitting that this which we have written be set forth by thy order and published everywhere, and brought to the knowledge of all, to the intent that the enactment which embodies this our generosity may escape the notice of no one. Copy of another imperial ordinance which he also made, indicating that the bounty had been granted to the Catholic Church alone. Greeting Anu Linus, our most honored sir. It is the custom of our benevolence that we will that whatsoever appertains by right to another should not only not suffer harm, but even be restored, most honored Anu Linus. Wherefore, we will that when thou receivest this letter, if aught of those things that belong to the Catholic Church or the Christians in any city, or even in other places, be now in the possession either of citizens or of any others, these thou shouldst cause to be restored forthwith to these same churches, inasmuch as it has been our determination that those things which these same churches possess formerly should be restored to them as their right. Since, therefore, thy devotedness perceives that the order of this our command is most explicit, do thy diligence that all things, whether gardens or buildings or whatsoever, belonged to these same churches by right, be restored to them with all speed, so that we may learn that thou hast yielded the most careful obedience to this our order. Fare thee well, Anulinus, our most honored and esteemed sir. Copy of an imperial letter, in which he commands the holding of a synod of bishops at Rome, on behalf of the union and concord of the churches. Constantine Augustus, to Miltiades, bishop of the Romans, and to Mark, inasmuch as documents of such a nature have been sent to me in numbers by Apollinus, the right honorable proconsul of Africa, from which it appears that Caecilian, the bishop of the city of the Carthaginians, is called to account on many charges by some of his colleagues in Africa, and inasmuch as it seems to me to be a very serious matter that in those provinces which divine providence has chosen to entrust to my devotedness, and where there is a great number of people, the multitude should be found pursuing the worst course of action, splitting up, as it were, and the bishops at variance among themselves, it seemed good to me that Caecilian himself, with 10 bishops, who seemed to call him to account, and such 10 others as he may deem necessary to his suit, should set sail for Rome, that there a hearing may be granted him in the presence of yourselves, and moreover of Reticius and Maternus and Marinus also, your colleagues, whom I have ordered to hasten to Rome for this purpose, in such a manner as ye may perceive to be in accordance with the most sacred law. Nevertheless, that ye may have the fullest knowledge of all these matters, I have subjoined to my letter copies of the documents that were sent to me by Anulinus, and have dispatched them to your aforesaid colleagues, which, when your firmness reads, he will gauge by what method the most careful investigation can be made of the above-mentioned suit, and a just decision arrived at, since it does not escape the notice of your carefulness that the respect which I pay to the lawful Catholic Church is so great that it is my wish that you should leave no schism whatsoever or division in any place. May the divinity of the great God preserve you safely for many years, most honored sirs. Copy of an imperial letter in which he gives orders for the holding of a second synod for the purpose of removing all division among the bishops. Constantine Augustus to Crestus, Bishop of the Syracusans. Already on a former occasion, when some in a base and perverse manner began to create divisions with regard to the worship of the holy and heavenly power and the Catholic religion, in my desire to cut short such dissensions among them, I had given orders to the effect that certain bishops should be sent from Gaul, nay further, that the opposing parties who were contending stubbornly and persistently together should be summoned from Africa, that so, in the presence also of the Bishop of Rome, this question, which appeared to have been raised, might through their coming receive a right solution by means of a careful examination in every particular. But since, as it happened, some, forgetful both of their own salvation and the reverence they owe to their most holy religion, even now do not cease to perpetuate their private enmities, being unwilling to conform to the judgment already passed, and affirming that, after all, it was a few persons who gave their opinions and decisions, or that they were in a hurry to pass judgment very speedily and sharply, without having first accurately examined all those matters that ought to have been investigated. And since, as a result of all this, it has come to pass that even those very persons who ought to be of one mind in brotherly concord are separate from each other in a disgraceful, nay rather in an abominable fashion, and give to those men whose souls are strangers to this most holy religion to scoff. Wherefore it became incumbent upon me to provide that which ought to have ceased by voluntary agreement after the judgment already passed may even now, if possible, be ended by the presence of many persons. Inasmuch, therefore, as we have commanded that very many bishops from various and numberless places should assemble at the city of Arles by the calends of August, we have thought it good to write to thee also, that thou shouldst procure from the right honorable Latronianus, the corrector of Sicily, a public vehicle, and joining to thy company two others of those of the second rank, whomsoever thou thyself mayest decide to choose, and moreover taking with you three servants who shall be able to attend upon you on the way, do thou be present at the above-mentioned place by that same day, so that both by thy firmness and by the unanimous wisdom of the others assembled, this quarrel also, which hitherto, by reason of certain disgraceful contentions, has maintained a miserable existence, when all has been heard and will be said by those who are now at variance among themselves, whom likewise we have commanded to be present, may, if only tardily, give place to a due state of religion and faith and brotherly concord. May the Almighty God preserve thee in good health for many years. Here ends Book 10 and Chapter 5, and now we'll move on to some notes and commentary. This chapter contains four important ordinances and letters translated from the original Latin into Greek that come from the emperors Constantine and Licinius relating to the Christians. The first of these four documents is known as the Edict of Milan, which was formulated in the year 313. It grants freedom of worship not only to Christians but to all Romans. It explicitly states, "We have granted to these same Christians free and unrestricted authority to observe their own form of worship." It also stipulates that any property, like churches, taken from the Christians without compensation should be freely restored to them. The second is an ordinance addressed to Anulinus, who was the proconsul of Africa. It stipulates that property taken from the churches should be restored to them, whether gardens or buildings or whatsoever belong to these churches by right. The third is an imperial letter from Constantine to Miltiades, who was the Bishop of Rome, and to someone else named Mark. It calls for a synod or a meeting of bishops that would take place in Rome before the Roman bishop to address controversy relating to Caecilian, the bishop of Carthage, and to assure that there is no schism in the church. The translator and editor, Olton, explains that this referred to the so-called Donatist controversy that was arising in North Africa. He writes, "The Donatists, so-called from a bishop of theirs, Donatus, alleged that Caecilian had been consecrated by a bishop, Felix, who in the Diocletian persecution had proved himself a traditor, that is, he had surrendered up scriptures to the pagan authorities. Hence, they held that Caecilian's consecration was invalid, and by appointing a bishop of their own in his stead began what is known as the Donatist Schism." And that's the end of the quote from Olton. The fourth of these documents is an imperial letter from Constantine to Crestus, bishop of Syracuse, relating to the Council of Arles, which was held in the year 314. It calls for a synod of bishops to meet in Arles by the calends of August, that is, by the first day of August. The purpose of the meeting was to continue to address problems relating to the Donatus Schism that had begun to occur, particularly in North Africa. In conclusion, this chapter provides an important historical record of the religious freedom that came to the Christians and even to the pagans under Constantine with the Edict of Milan. It also gives insight into the rise of the Donatist controversy and of imperial intervention into the life of the church to address schism. The Council of Arles in 314 will be something of a forerunner to the Council of Nicaea that will be held in the year 325. Well, this brings this episode to a conclusion. I hope this has been helpful and insightful for you, and I will look forward to speaking to you in the next episode in this series. Till then, take care and God bless.